Welcome to the One Small Change. I am so thrilled that we are going on this journey of exploration and transformation with you and that you've joined me. I'm your host, Yvonne McCoy, and I bring almost 30 years of entrepreneurial experience. But the thing that I'm most passionate about is discovering growth through the power of seemingly small change. So I want to thank you for being courageous and joining me on this adventure. And I hope that when you leave, you will be inspired to explore and be just inspired to grow your business. And so I have a special guest this week, and you are going to love meeting him. It's Michael Whitehouse, who is so involved in the entrepreneurial journey that I know that you're going to walk away with something special. Michael, tell us about your one small change that helped you to do what you're doing now.
So the one small change I didn't necessarily notice while I was doing it. I just thought I was being petulant, really. But in retrospect, when I can look backwards and see the pattern, I realized that the really powerful thing I did was to lean into authenticity, which is the fancy way of saying not doing what I didn't want to do. Because, yep.
Just to interrupt you, I think that's the whole thing is that we don't recognize how powerful a small shift can be. I mean, I say that it's kind of like the spokes on a bicycle. When you start it, it's very small, and as it goes out, the impact gets bigger. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have interrupted you. So keep
No,
going.
no problem. Yeah, so years ago when I'd work for, a car dealership or whatever, and they'd be like, "You should do it this way." And I'm like, "I don't want to do it this way." And then I would not have success because there was a way that they had that worked because, it was selling cars in their dealership. They had a decent idea how that worked. And then when I got in entrepreneurship, I sort of had that training, be like, no, I should listen to the people I know what they're talking about because they're experts and they've been successful and I better listen to them. And they say, I need a website and they say, I need a podcast and they say, I need their course and they say, I need this and I need that. And I would then come to realize, oh, no, wait a minute. Unlike at the car dealership where my sale was their sale and we actually all aligned together. And yeah, there's some ego involved, but basically, my sales were their sales. Once I'm in the world of entrepreneurship, it's their sales are their sales and their sales are my money. My sales are my sales. So they weren't necessarily pushing me in the direction that was the right answer. It was the right answer for
For
them.
them, yes.
And so finally in frustration, I'm like, you know what? Forget. I'm just gonna do what I want to do. And people are telling me I need to do this. I don't like doing this. I'm just not gonna do it.
Well, I
And
think,
sure enough, I started making more money.
and I think one of the things that's so hard, I mean, so first of all, there are, from a society point of view, we are educated to do things the right way. You're not rewarded for getting out of the box. So that's kind of the first thing. The second thing that people I think get wrong is what I call the five R's. You do the right thing for the right reason at the right time, the right way, and it's right for you. And those things can change at any point in time. I mean, the principle might say the same. You need to be visible, but there's not just one way to be visible when you're an entrepreneur. Okay.
Yeah, it And a lot of it, I hear a lot of people say, well, it doesn't hurt to. And I'm like, yeah, it does. Because anything you do takes time. It doesn't hurt to be on social media. No, but if social media is sucking 90 minutes out of your day, then it does. If social media is distracting or upsetting you, then it does hurt. If you're spending, if you launch a podcast out of strategy and that's taking 2 hours a day or an hour a day out of your schedule, then it does hurt. You only have so many hours in a day. You only have so much energy, only so much focus. And by focusing on things that matter. And the other thing is there's this ineffable quality of, I guess we'll call it passion. And the more of it you're using to do things you're supposed to be doing, but don't really care about, the less passion you have. And at the extreme, I talk to people sometimes who are saying, well, yeah, I'm really passionate about, teaching people to eat right. But then somebody got me into this network marketing company where I can make money and they've got a system established and it's nutrition related, I guess. So I'm focusing there, but I'm not really doing as much as I should be. And if you actually break down their schedule, you discover they're working 3.5 hours a day because they're no longer passionate. They don't have the energy to do the thing they care about, but their time isn't going in, their time's going into this other thing, and they're neither here nor there. They're driving on the median strip. So by focusing in the passion, even if it's not the right thing, the proven way, the one proven way to failure is to try to follow someone else's path poorly.
Well, it's funny. I went to this, and this is decades ago. I went to a some kind of coaches meeting, right? And there was at least 200 people in the room. And the coach who was talking said, "I want you to write down your top five priorities, and then I want you to put down where you're spending your time. How many of your priorities actually match where your time is?" And out of that whole room, only one person, their priorities actually match their time. And it was like, oh my God, this is so true. We spend so much, and that's why, what I try to get people to do is streamline what they're doing so that they're focusing more on one thing, right? And I think the other thing that happens with, when you talk about authenticity is we feel like we should be a certain way, and part of that has to do, I think, with self-doubt. You go like, if I come across professionally, then people are going to take me seriously. If I come across as a nutball, then nobody's gonna, And I had the pleasure of having one of my clients who was my wingman on a webinar say to me afterward, she goes, "The person that put on that webinar is not the coach I love working with." And it was like, oh, so that was a small change that had huge, repercussions. But I think people, you talk about authenticity and people are like, what does that mean? How does that show up? I mean,
Well, one of the things that I've done recently as a kind of, I guess you'd say, strategic shift is, yeah, I was looking at my time, and so I do a daily email to my email list, which for people who don't know how I write, you'd be like, a daily email? Oh, I'd unsubscribe from that, because most emails are awful and you should unsubscribe from them because they're just buy my stuff, buy my stuff, buy my stuff, buy my stuff. I use it as kind of a private social media platform. And so I'll write about some topic that I feel like is relevant to my audience and could benefit them and they could learn from. And I realized I was spending 15 to 60 minutes a day writing this email. And so one thought was, wow, that's a lot of my available working time is going into this message. Maybe I should dial it back. Maybe I should do it every other day. Maybe I should whatever. And then I said, no, this is what I like doing. It's a way I reach people. I should dial it up, not send more than one a day, but to really make that my platform and to share an important message that people resonate with. And then that being the case, now what's the strategy that follows from that? So if most of my energy is going to writing the email, well, I need to have a call to action off that I'm ready to go, because I don't have a lot of bandwidth to set up a lot of different webinars or set up a lot of events, because a lot of the energy is going into the email. And from there, my current, as I record this, the strategy is I'm just saying, hey, book a call with me if this would be helpful. And from there, I'm teaching people to simplify themselves. A lot of what I'm telling them, I did a workshop recently that I may or may not repeat, which was called Do What Works and Nothing Else, because people get trapped in these, going down these rabbit holes of a lot of times the experts will be up there saying, well, if you want a successful business, you must. And then it's do a thing, and the thing is the thing they sell. So if you want a successful business, you must be using AI. If you want a successful business, you must have a podcast. You must have a book. You must have a summit. You must have a list. You must have must, 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 must. And for a lot of people I'm talking to, if they want to make $100,000 a year, they need to sell 10 people at $8,000 per year, or 20 people at $4,000, or 40 people at $2,000. And once you actually do the math, you're like, wait a minute, I don't need a summon an email to sell 20 people. I need to talk to 80 people to sell 20 people. But they're not talking to the people because they're so busy building the summit and the email list
Yes.
and the website and the this and that and the other thing. And they got all this stuff piled up and they don't have a business. It's a bunch of stuff they piled up. So I realized I started doing it myself and then teaching other people to do it because they're getting so caught up. And then, of course, what happens is then you're busy but not effective. And that lets you gloss over your mindset blocks because, well, I haven't started talking to clients yet because my website's not ready. And we could, and then I actually sit down with people and pin them down. I'm like, all right, so to hire me, you need $500. You let's sell something for $50 and do it 10 times. Or you get $100, that gets you into my lowest level program. Let's sell something for $20 five times. And they're like, yeah. Well, I talked to them a week later. So did you do it? Well, I didn't yet because I'm like, ah. You're not ready to go out and sell a $20 thing, so it doesn't matter how many websites and podcasts or whatever else you have, but that's such a convenient distraction from the things you're not doing because you're so busy being busy and going to. I was just talking to a client today who says, I need to stop going to so many webinars where they're offering to sell me their $15,000 offer. And I was like, yes, you know, it'd be a good strategy for that. What if you just didn't go? And she's like, yeah, I know, but I feel like there's going to be something there. Because it's just this FOMO of like, but what if the answer is there? Guarantee you
Well,
it's not.
I agree with you. One of my the people that I work with, when social media was, the big buzz, I said, I don't like social media. I'm not going to dance. I'm not going to show you my food or what I'm eating. I don't care. And she said, well, what do you like doing? What have you done that you've done consistently? And at that time, I'd had a blog talk radio show. And I'd had it for 3 years. And she said, what did you like about that? And I said, for me, it's an opportunity to learn and to put learning out there. That's what I liked about it. And I'm obviously a speaker versus a writer. People that, when I had somebody that was like editing my writing, they were like, oh my God, the way you write is the way you talk. And I'm like, yeah. She was like, what if you did a video? What if you just talked into the video and posted that once a week? And that's kind of how the Sunday Scoop started. It started as a thing on Sunday. And so I think it's really important that you do what you, I think it's good to give it some strategic thought and say, this is what I'm good at. I'm going to do more of this because I'm going to attract people that this speaks to. How can I do this in a way that I like? And so I've gone from posting on social media like once a week to now posting on it, I think it's like 5 times a week. But actually 3 of the 5 are actually informational things. There's, my newsletter with the events, there's my podcast that I put out as a post, and I put out a quote once a week. Right. And the other two are the two that I write that, I have something to say. So, know what it is that you're trying to accomplish. Just like when I talk to people about being my affiliates, I don't want them to do a single email on me that goes, this is the greatest person ever. Because my people have been in big ticket programs and didn't get the results. So they go, been there, done that. That doesn't speak to me. I would rather have you say, I met this person who is personable and her she customizes it and it works. That's what, the thing is, you don't have to follow every, so I tell people, I have swipe copy, but I don't care if you use it. I'd rather you put, do something personal that says, I know this person and gives me credibility and speaks to the people that I want. Because, you regardless how much you practice to be perfect, you're not going to be the right person for everybody.
No, definitely. And one thing about the being strategic. So one thing I came up with a while ago is you
Ooh.
see here behind me the 9 foundational questions of business, which I believe you'll put a link in the description for anyone who wants to get this. I made a
Absolutely.
little ebook that explains them in detail. But basically, and I've played around the wording a bit, but fundamentally, the first three are values and goals. So what are your values? What's your big goal? How do you measure it? Because your big goal is like, I want financial freedom. All right, is financial freedom 500,000, 1 million, 10,000 a month? What is it? And then 4, 5, and 6 is your offer. What problem do you solve? How do you solve it? Who do you solve it for? And I sometimes say 6.5 is how do you solve it? Like what's or how do you deliver it? Because I always kind of assumed that was assumed, but sometimes people are like, yeah, no, I solved this problem in this way. So how do you deliver it? So that's 6.5. And then 7, 8, 9 is where most people get jammed up is So what I have here is how do you sell it? How do you invite people to sell it to? And how do you find those people? But another way to think of that is how do you turn prospects into customers? How do you turn audience into prospects? And how do you turn strangers into audience members? And I did it backwards because you first need to know how do you turn prospects? You get someone on a call, they're in the masterclass, they're in the one-on-one. How do you convert them into the program? Because you can trip over a prospect. You'll talk to them at a networking event, you'll meet them in the supermarket. When they say, "Yeah, I'd like to know more, sure, let's get on a call." You should be ready for that before you're building your email list or your website or your whatever. Like, what somebody says, "I'd like to know more about that," be ready for that conversation. Then, how do you build a pool of people from which one by one you'll draw them into conversations? And then, how do you draw people into that pool and get them in there? But I created this because I found that most people are missing one of these nine questions. If you go through and just try to answer them, like, how do you sell it? Well, and it's usually question seven that most people are missing. But it's, you'll be going through, you'll be like, what problem do you solve? Well, I provide websites. Well, that's not a problem. So now you got to go back and figure out what problem do you solve? And once you solve that, now you're ready to talk about how do you get people in and how do you build your website and whatnot.
Well, just first of all, I absolutely agree with you about the process, and I think that part of what I talk to people is what are your gaps in your client attraction process. Once you've got somebody, you've got a really good chance that that if you've had some sales before, you're doing really great, client service and program delivery kinds of things, right? So that's not the problem. The problem is, how do you get them? How do you, attract the clients in the first place? And, one of the things you said that I think you can't say enough, especially if you're kind of heartfelt, you don't want like to look at the analytical stuff, is you have to get in front of people. I mean, I remember the first time somebody said, you have to get in front of 50 people a month. And I went, what? It was, so, there are variety of ways of doing that. So one of the first things that I work with people on is how do you introduce yourself? Because what I find is they are like, because of the self-doubt and that kind of thing, they are, I take you through this process. I do this, this, and this. We don't care about that until we know something about you. You can understand, and so it's the per, it's kind of like, if you've listened to my podcast, you've heard this story on almost every one of them, but it's what I call the gooey brownie story. You go into a bakery and you go, I want your best gooey brownie. And the baker comes out and says, here's 2 cups of flour, half a cup of cocoa, and the recipe. And so you need to lead with what is going to catch their attention. Whether that, for me, that is, I lost my business in 20, 2020 with COVID and had to start over. And I wanted, if I was going to do it again, I wanted to build a business that I loved, that I really wanted to do, right? For one of my clients who sells insurance, she was a survivor of 9/11. And she's like, I was in the military and, I su survived this thing and went, oh my God, I don't have enough life insurance. And I had been in life-threatening situations and never thought about it. So I'm not surprised that you haven't thought about it either. So, but I think the numbers are really important. I mean, I've started color coding my contacts in green and going, yes, look at it, Philip.
Yeah. Well, and one thing I kind of need to catch myself when I'm on calls with people. Well, say, what challenge do you think you had? And say, I need more leads. And I'll be like, no, you don't. What's that? No, nothing. And continue to ask questions because anytime someone says, I need more leads, like, I bet any amount of money you don't. Because leads is question nine. That's putting people into the audience. I talked to one person, and they said they needed more leads. I'm like, great. How many sales have you made? Zero. How many people in your audience? 4,000. You don't need more leads. Yeah, you could never get another lead for the rest of your life and still not need more leads. You need to convert the people you have. So that's that's the thing is that leads is as far as the people as far from people as you can get. Talk to them. Get one to one with them. It's reaching out to strangers, actually having the conversations. And until you've done some one-on-one sales, delivered some value, and gotten some results, you can't necessarily build a group program. You can't build an asynchronous program or course or whatever. You don't know what people need. You've got to talk to people. Now, the thing is, if you're heart-centered, you should want to, because you want to help people, not just get their money, right? Right? Well, you can't help them unless you work with them one-on-one. And then once you've helped 10 people, you say, oh, all 10 of them needed the same thing. So let's build a group and I can give all 10 of you the same thing at once. And then you help 50 more and say, all 50 of you needed the same thing in the same order. Now I can record that and sell the thing that I did, for a tenth as much to the people who can't afford the thing that I'm selling you into. But you got to start by actually like working with people. Otherwise, you're just selling that thing that you imagine works.
Right. And so, part of what, one of the reasons I do the introduction piece is it's like, okay, you got this piece, go get in front of some people and see what resonates with them, the people that you like. If it doesn't resonate, don't say it's wrong. Say, am I in front of the right people? Right. So, and don't take it, like when they say to me, what do you think? I go, okay, let's be clear that I'm not your right client. Right. So you need to put this in front of other people. This is my impression, right? But I'm not your right client. Okay. So I think, the first thing is, and so I did the same thing with my courses. I started with what was the delight that your clients got from you that was unexpected? Because that's your secret sauce, and I hate to do this because I think that we could talk for a really long time. But we can't. So the first thing is Michael has a great gift that he's talked to you about. He has given you some fantastic nuggets. If you were to sum it up into three action steps, what would you say?
I mean, the first action step would be to use that link in the chat so you get the
Right.
nine questions and then go through those nine questions and answer them. It's a fairly simple exercise. The simplest version is simply answer the nine questions. In the ebook goes a little more in depth. There's a bit more of an exercise, but basically answer the nine questions, see which one you don't have a good answer to, and then focus there. And anything you buy or study or attend, make sure it's for the question you don't have the answer to, as opposed to getting the 73rd lead generation strategy when you still can't sell your way out of a paper bag, or focusing on sales strategy when you don't have an offer that is clear and explainable if somebody wanted to buy it. And then the other thing is, as I named the workshop the other day, do what works and nothing else. So focus on what makes sense to do and realize that you don't need all the things you think you need. I always remind people somewhere up in the Yukon or something, there's some guy making six figures who doesn't have an internet connection. He's probably like a diesel mechanic. I don't know. There's someone with a successful business. Anything you think you need for your business, there's someone who doesn't have it. There's
Yep.
someone who doesn't have electricity making six figures. I don't know what they're doing, but I guarantee you there's someone out there making six figures. Maybe he's a scout in the national parks. But whatever you think you need, you don't, because someone's doing without it, which means you can pare it down to just the things that you do need, and you'll know which are the right things because they're the things that you're like, yeah, I love doing this, as opposed to, oh, I gotta get on social media again. Well, then don't do it if you don't like it. So I think that was around 3 points. So
But
keep it
it's
simple, follow those nine questions, and do the things, fill in those gaps.
it's enough to it. There are so many nuggets in here, and so many things that I agree with that we could keep going. So, okay, here's the question: when was the last time you did something new for the first time?
So I went on a cruise for the first time, which sounds like it's about vacations, but it was the Marketers Cruise, which is a 9-day business networking event on a ship. And that was an incredible event, and I think I've been wanting to go on it for a couple of years, and I think I went when I was ready. That's when the resources provided themselves. And it was an amazing opportunity. And partly that's where I realized this whole simplicity and it really came together in clarity. But that was a really cool experience. And one of the things I realized is cruises are less expensive than you think they are.
Yeah, I won't get into that with you. That's
Yeah, but because they're all inclusive, so they don't nickel and dime you for that extra $1,000 while you're there. If it's 4,000 bucks, it's 4,000 bucks. So,
That'll be another podcast, why you should go on a cruise or do an event on a cruise.
yes.
My goal is that I want to get a group of people together that want to cruise in the Mediterranean and go to Greece. That's what I'm that's my that's one of my bucket list things.
I
All
love it.
right. So unfortunately, although we could talk more, we can't talk more. So if you haven't done this already, I'd be sure that you subscribe and share and engage on social media or wherever you share, where you podcast. And one of the reasons that I do this is to bring other people into the community so that you can get some really vibrant ideas to fuel your quest for growth. And so I hope you continue to join me on the One Small Change. And it's about a journey where even the smallest shift can yield a monumental transformation. So if you haven't listened to the first episode to see what I'm about, dive into that and see some other people who have been kind enough to give me their time and their expertise. Michael, what are the last words you'd like to leave us with?
Last words I'll leave you with is don't should all over yourself. That's should, SHOULD. Don't worry about the thing you should be doing, because if you're avoiding doing it, then it could be the thing you just don't like. It could be revealing some kind of block, or it could be revealing that's the thing you really shouldn't be doing anyway. But don't should all over yourself.
Fantastic. So for everybody, we got to call it quits. So remember, change is simple, but it's not always easy. It requires courage and resilience and a willingness to step out of your comfort zone. So again, I hope you will join me for the One Small Change as we embark on this journey and find some innovative possibilities. Until the next time, stay curious.